lucky you are, or it reminds you of how lucky you were that you didn't have your exams to do during the likes of the Euros or the good weather. Remember back those days when the Euros had been on or the World Cup or whatever? You hated to think, oh, I've got exams during the weather. But the exams are getting closer. The big sporting events are getting closer. The holiday feel is getting upon us as well. But it's really difficult to dilute the pressure that young people feel they are under. There's so much competition and it is so difficult to be a youngster doing exams now. Anxiety, depression, eating disorders have all been linked to exam stress. That's according to the NSPCC. And they're offering advice to students and parents at this time of year when exams are taking place across Northern Ireland. Mairead Mons is from the NSPCC and she's going to have a word with us here on the radio. Mairead, good morning.
Good morning.
Mairead, I suppose if a youngster has the work done, the exams are very doable. The ones who are under pressure are the kids who haven't put in the effort during the course of the year. Is that a fair comment?
Well, we know also that young people who have done a lot of work and a lot of preparation for their exams still contact us in Childline about anxiety, depression, panic, over the exams. Maybe that could be fear of actually failing them or fear of not getting the grades that they want or just general pressures linked to academic achievement.
Are they under too much pressure in this cutthroat age of dog-eat-dog, getting to the top, being number one?
Well, certainly, there is pressure on children and young people, from society, from media and from parents, to achieve well in exams. So I would say young people are contacting us about increased levels of pressure.
I was speaking just yesterday to a young woman who's in her late 20s now, who spent the last, all her life in academia. And she studied to be, she studied to get a degree in business and was successful and couldn't get a job. And then she went back to university to study to be a doctor. And she's now just qualified and is about to go into a hospital to work, starting full time in July. The amount of effort that has taken from that individual to secure a really good mortgage paying job is beyond belief. She's had to jump so many hurdles to achieve what she has achieved. I just don't know how people put themselves through that.
I suppose for some people, they thrive on that level of pressure and, it's something they set themselves a target and they aim towards it. Each individual will be different in their approach.
So what advice do you give to the young person and indeed to the parents who are observing that young person to manage the exam stress?
Well, we have a new YouTube channel, and we have on that, it's a Childline YouTube channel, 6 tips to managing exam stress. And there will be things such as making sure you take regular breaks from revising, getting some exercise, trying to get some sleep, trying to think positively, break things into chunks. I'll do this for half an hour and then I'll do something else and I can do this for half an hour. Those sort of positive self-talk attitude. Drinking lots of water. We do know that young people who hydrate their brains, that they'll concentrate better. And certainly for parents, it'll be about not putting unnecessary pressure on your child to gain certain grades. Even if they get good grades, they may feel that they fail if they don't achieve what they thought you expected of them. Help them to revise by giving them the space and time to do so. Be relaxed about chores around the house, untidiness. Understand they may be moody. Lots of people, children and young people, work better at night. So if that's the natural body rhythm for your young person, let them do that, but make sure that they do get enough sleep to keep their energy levels up for the day, and help them to talk to you about it. Help alleviate, make sure they know that they can come and chat to you about their worries and their concerns.
I'm just thinking about one of the points you made there about what suits the young person. They'll know best, and it might be working very late at night, even though you want them to go to bed. And it's just chiming in my head with my own girl who luckily enough went through college and did okay. I at the very early stages of her study, way back at GCSE, said to her mum, she cannot study with loud music in the room. You know, this is impossible. Now, her mom's a teacher and she said, listen, every child to themselves. If she wants to play loud music while she's studying, that's her way of doing it. And right up to today, where she's now working but still involved in academia, she studies with loud music in the room. And I can't even read a book with loud music. So everyone is different.
Absolutely. And I mean, there has been some really interesting emerging research over the past number of years about learning styles, what works best for young people, and each young person will be very different in how they work best.
Yeah, so, and you, as a parent, you do have to accept the child's perspective on that, because you're adding to their stress by imposing yourself on them.
Absolutely, yeah, and we do know that teenagers tend to want to get up later in the day and, you know, work until later in the night. So it could be that's just the natural, you know, biorhythms of children and young people and teenagers.
It is a sporting summer. The Euros will be starting as the exams are underway. Should schools be making sure that exams aren't scheduled around the Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland matches? Or should the, not just the schools, but the exam authorities, should they have taken all of that into consideration for England, Wales, Northern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, because especially, and I know some people are going to say, how dare you say especially for boys, but especially for boys, I am going to say it, there are more fellas interested in the Euros than there are girls. That is a proven fact, even though girls play football, etc., etc. But it's unfortunate. It's, you know, I used to detest doing exams whenever there was football on, because football to me came first. There are a lot of kids like that.
I know, and it is. It's really tough on young people, boys and girls. I can't answer whether the football or the exam should have been rescheduled. Some people may say maybe the football should have been rescheduled to take into account the exams. Exam timetables are set, you know, years in advance.
So what's the advice then? That's a fair, very fair answer, Maria. What's the advice to parents who are concerned about a GCSE kid being glued to the matches?
I mean, I don't know an awful lot about football, Frank, to be honest. I don't know what time they're scheduled to be on at, but I do know they're in Europe, so they can't be totally out of sync.
They're going to be at about 5 o'clock in the evening or 8 o'clock at night. They're going to be on for about a fortnight, two games a day, every day, if you're into all of the matches. If you're only into England, Northern Ireland, Wales and the Republic of Ireland, then, well, say if you're only into those, it's going to be, let me put it another way, it will impact on the exams without doubt.
Okay, and I mean, I suppose it's about preparing in advance. And if you have a young person who is really into their football, you know, sit down with them and decide, well, actually, I'm going to do some revision for 3 hours in the afternoon. I'm going to take a 4 hour break and then I'm going to go back to it, you know, so that they can schedule their breaks in for a time when some of the football's on. But I mean, this is a hard time, and sometimes sacrifices do have to be made for young people, but it has to be reasonable and, you know, also give them opportunities for breaks.
Yeah, and I would put the argument, you can build the study around it. You have something to aim for. I want to see the match, so I'm going to do loads of stuff, and then I'll take a break for the game, and then I'm back to it. There are positive ways of approaching it. The one thing, Maria, that comes out of all of this is parents who are most likely listening to this programme as opposed to the children, don't put them under any additional pressure.
No, and talk to them about what's going to work for them, particularly if the football is an issue. You know, come to a compromise with them. You know, before the matches, I don't even know what dates the matches start at, but before the matches start, you know, try and get as much done, you know, before the actual date of the football match is starting.
Yeah, it runs roughly, off the top of my head, I think it's roughly the 7th or 8th of June through to the 12th of July.
Right, so it's peak time.
It's peak time.
I am displaying my lack of knowledge.
You're all right. I have to double check the opening date as well. But it's most of June. By the time June's over, the exams are over. But
right.
They're hot and heavy at it for a few weeks in June when the kids will be up to their necks in study. And there are also a couple of rock concerts and pop concerts on, I think, that weren't usually on during the exams. So they'll have to factor that in too. And then, of course, the other side of the coin, they work really hard. They get all the exams and they come out the other side realising that there's a long list of unemployed people who went through all that stress and never even got a job. But let's not depress them, Maria. Let's not depress them. Good speaking to you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Frank. Bye-bye.
And every good wish indeed to every child taking part in the exams, and to every mum or dad worrying about them. And the Euros last from June 10th to July 10th.